Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for our privilege to celebrate that in the season. Thank you that you are here with us and that you never leave us. And thank you, Father, that your voice is the voice that you've called us to listen to. Help us to do that. Permit no other voice to speak tonight, but only your voice. Father, if you would use me to do that, that would be great. If you would use the ears of these people to hear you without me, that would be great. Whatever it takes, Father, for them to hear your voice. Father, I pray that they would hear it and then follow it and trust it. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the fun things about being a pastor is that you get to touch on a lot of different subjects. You get to talk about a lot of different things, and not necessarily things you know anything about. So, like sometimes you talk about science, and sometimes you talk about economics, and sometimes you talk about things that you sort of know a little bit about. Like, we're sort of generalists. And so I'm kind of treading on dangerous ground tonight because I want to talk about light, and I wanted to talk about light theory, and I thought I pretty much knew a lot about light theory, and then I went and read current light theory stuff and got confused and realized I don't know anything about light theory, and they use words I don't understand. And some of the words that they use, I don't think they understand. And so so I'm really treading on dangerous ground. But here's what I do know about light, and that's that Jesus comes into this world as light. And the first time we get a hint of that is in Genesis 1:1-5, and I just want to read that to you this evening. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." Who's here? The Word. Something, this Word goes out. There's this Word. God speaks into being everything that is. That is so awesome to me. God speaks. God speaks the Word, and light comes into darkness. He just says it. Now, I've heard all kinds of theories of how everything was formed and how life was created, and I've read about the Big Bang Theory, and I've read those things kind of as a hobby, and I've always thought, that's great, you know, that this stuff just happened, and it just occurred, and we kind of have this, you know, belief maybe that way back sometime there was this explosion, and then life formed, and you know, planets and stars and all that stuff, and eventually life formed, and that's how it all came to be, and I don't know how it came to be, and neither does anyone, because we weren't there. And we can always trace back, and we have, you know, I studied a little philosophy, another area where I'm woefully ill-prepared to speak, but I studied a little bit of philosophy, and one of the things in philosophy is that you learn to go back and say, okay, you know, what was the first cause? What first happened? What's the very first happen? And then you say, well, there was this Big Bang. And then the question becomes, okay, who lit the match that lit off the Big Bang? You know, like there's still, you got to go back and back and back. And eventually you still got to ask the question, how did it happen? How did it happen? And we don't know. What we do know is that God spoke the Word, and light came into darkness. Light came into darkness. Light interjected itself into darkness, into that which was void, that which was nothing. There was nothing, and then there was something, and light came in. And light came in because God spoke. I thought a lot about darkness and light when I was preparing this, and I thought, it's interesting that we always talk about light, and we kind of lead with light, right? We don't, when we were remodeling this place, and when we were working around our house, we don't send Jimmy down to the store to get some darkness fixtures. You know, we don't think that someday if we get really a lot wiser and smarter, we'll be in darkened. You know, we don't think about darkness that way. We don't say, would someone please turn on the dark so I cannot see where I'm going, because I've been walking into stuff that's all too bright and brilliant. Could you please turn on the dark? We don't think that way. We think about light. Light is what we long for. Light is what we want. Light is what we need. The sun is spaced the right distance from the earth so that we can receive light and the right amount. If we were somewhat closer, we would be toast. And if we were somewhat further away, we would be ice or we'd be non-existent. And so we're worried because somewhere I read that we're moving like an eighth of an inch closer to the sun every year. And so in I don't know how many billion years we're going to like be too close. And so that's going to be bad. So just to warn you all. And so we think about light and we need light, and light comes in and light refreshes us, restores us. Often when we're sick, when we're struggling, when we're in trouble, we hide away in darkness, and light is what God brings. Now here's my bad science. Hydrogen, which is matter, it's the first element, it's hydrogen, it's the base one, and light, energy, are the building blocks of life. That's what I was taught, and that's what I still believe, is that light came and energized matter and brought life. And that's, it brought physical life. It brought us the ability to live. We are made up of primarily hydrogen atoms, along with some oxygen. I think somebody can correct me, but we're some huge percentage of water is what we are. You know, we look like we're skin and bones and all this cool stuff. No, we're just water. We're H2O. We're a huge portion of it. If you could literally suck all the water out of us, we'd be like nothing. So it's pretty cool that we're, and hydrogen, that's what burns up in the stars, and hydrogen is what we are made of. And so there's these complex building materials that God had, and he takes energy, light, and brings it into that and changes everything. He creates life. Creation flows from the light coming into the darkness. There was void, there was nothing, and then light enters in. The Word comes and brings light. God's Word, God speaks. Now, I don't know how God spoke. I like to think that he speaks like we speak, that he has a mouth, but God is a spirit, so I don't know what speaking looks like for God. I don't know how he says what he says. I don't know how he said this and then things just happened. But I know that we're created and we come from light coming into darkness. Now, the next passage that I want to read is this really cool passage from John chapter 1. And John 1, 1 through 14, and I love this passage, and so I'm just going to simply share it with you. In the beginning was the Word, okay, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Something happened between Genesis 1 and John 1, and that something that happened, the catastrophic event that happened, was that man invited darkness into this light that God had created. We chose darkness. We had the option through Adam. Adam said the option through Adam and Eve was hey, if the Satan's great temptation of them was, if you want to be like God, if you want to be God, if you want to know good and evil like God, if you want to be like God, then all you got to do is eat of the fruit of the tree that he told you not to eat of, and then you'll be just like him. And we wanted to be just like him. We wanted to be in control of our own destiny. We wanted to rule. We wanted to do that, and so we did that. And the moment we took the fruit, and the moment that that happened, we invited darkness. And then we lived in darkness. And we can think, well, that really frustrates God, and that's really hard for God, and that's really tough for God. But God's not even slowed down by that at all. Because God is a God who recreates. And so the light comes again in the form of Jesus, comes again to recreate, to make new, to make things right the way they're supposed to be. The Word, again, sent by God, the Word comes in again, and it comes to change everything, to recreate life. Because we are dead in our sins. We are dead. We can't work our way out. I know we try. I think I have more discussions with people who are trying to pull themselves out of their mess by themselves and think that somehow they'll be able to do that. I love the reality is that we add to our sin every day. We don't get better. People say, well, Rod, you are really getting old, so you should be getting better. So what's gone wrong? You know? Because we know you, and frankly, not so much. You know, you're a nice guy. We see you in your godly moments, and we think, wow, you know, there's potential there. But then we see you in your less than godly moments, and not so much. And of course, some of you don't see me enough, so you think I'm a nice guy because you just see me up here on Sunday nights. And you say, yeah, you know, he's a nice guy. He's a pretty good guy. I think he's got it together. I'll try to be like him. No. I'm messed up. And I continue to mess up. And I continue to add to the problem. And so if something doesn't come in, if something doesn't come in and change everything and recreate me, then I'm lost. The light re-enters this dark world. Light comes in and changes everything. Jesus comes as the light. The Word comes and is His glory just shines. And he comes on Christmas and he enters this dark world and everything lights up. I love that. Light reveals darkness. We live in darkness. We are messed up. There's no doubt about that. Light reveals darkness. John 3:16 is a famous verse that many of you might have heard. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We often stop there. We shouldn't. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict," and I love this verdict, "light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil." Light comes into the world. The verdict is we're dark. And light has to come in. Light reveals darkness. When we come in and we light candles and we turn on this electricity, all of a sudden we have light. In fact, last week I forgot to light the candle to make sure I don't this week. I will do that right now. Light comes in. If we turn off all the lights, it's just dark, and it gets darker and darker. And light comes in and invades darkness. It changes darkness. Darkness runs, flees before it is one of the phrases that you hear used, because darkness just can't deal with light. It comes in and changes everything. Now, the interesting thing about this was that darkness did not understand the light. In John 1, we talk about how darkness just doesn't get it. When we're walking around in darkness, when we're walking around in our sin, when we're walking around doing what we do, we don't get it. We don't understand. The rest of John 3, verse 20 and 21 says, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he does has been done through God." Darkness doesn't get that. We don't get that we're just really separated from God. That there's no way back. That there's no way in our strength and in our power and all our skill sets and all our abilities and all our kindnesses and trying to be nice people and trying to get above average and all that kind of stuff, that we just don't get that we need the light. Light comes in. It invades. It reveals. It shows. And it's scary. It's really scary. It's scary to have your darkness exposed. It's scary to have your sin exposed. It's scary for those of you who, you know, over Christmas told those little white lies, you know. "Oh, it's so good to see you. Really, I can't stand that you're here." Right? We do that all the time. What happens if your pure motive, your real motive, got revealed? Right? "I hate your guts. I so hate that you're here. It really stinks. I wish you hadn't come. Now you're going to spoil my party." If that's what they heard instead of, "Oh, how nice to see you." Right? If everything that we're thinking got put on a big screen and everybody got to read it, when we're saying and doing, because that's what happens, right? What happens when our sin gets revealed is that we're exposed. We're vulnerable. We're naked. We're out there. That's tough. That's scary. That's hard. I want to read the next passage in this little section. It's 1 John 1, 1 through 7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you, John says, what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. John gives us personal testimony. He says, I've seen Jesus. I know he's the Word. I've been there. I've touched him. I've laid eyes on him. I've walked with him. I've talked with him. I spent time with him. My hands touched him. I know who he is. And he was that which was from the beginning. He was back there in Genesis 1. He came back into this world in the Gospel, John, that I wrote. He came here. We saw him. We hung out with him. We spent time with him. We ate fish with him. We ate bread with him. He was here. We know him. And we testify now that he is exactly who he says he is, and that he comes and that he brings light, and that he reveals our sin, and then he saves us from it. And because of that, we can have fellowship with each other and fellowship with the Father. The word fellowship is just being together intimately. We can have intimate relationship with each other. We can be in intimate relationship with God. And we can do that simply because the light came into darkness. We're not enlightened if we have not come to terms with our darkness. If we cannot confess our sins, if we can't acknowledge that we've messed up, if we can't do that, if we can't come to grips with that reality, then we have no place with the light. If we continue to walk in darkness, even after we know about the light, even after we know about what Jesus has done, what God has done, how he's created and recreated and is constantly and consistently still recreating and making everything new, if we just ignore that, if we continue to walk in darkness, then we have no relationship with him. There's no fellowship. But if we walk in the light, if we acknowledge that we've messed up, if we acknowledge our sin, if we share that reality with each other, then there's this amazing thing that happens. We have relationship with light. There are some practical implications for walking in the light. You don't have to continue in sin. You don't have to give in to shame and fear. You don't have to worry. You recognize attacks and you see God's ways. You don't have to continue in sin. Now we do, at least if you're like me. I shouldn't assume that you all do, but I suspect you do. Right? We have our little pet sins, the ones that we do, and we don't actually even consider them sin because we've done them so long and they're so much a part of who we are that we kind of think of them as part of our identity. And we say, I do that. People get angry because they have red hair. I don't know where that ever came from. Kelsey, maybe you can explain. You have red hair. Anybody else redheaded in here? You know, redheaded people are allowed to be angry. Really? You're allowed to? You're allowed to have a temper? I didn't know you were. Where is that written? I didn't get that memo, right? You know, we don't have that. It's Irish, okay? The Irish. He's Irish, so that's why he gets to be angry, right? No, you don't have to continue in sin. Even if you're redheaded and Irish, you know, you don't have to continue in sin. You don't have to continue to be angry. You're not picking on you, Kelsey, because you've never been angry with me. Never been angry with me that I know of. But
I am right now. But I am right now.
How's that working for you? Right? We don't know. We say, well, I have to continue. That's just my nature. It's just the way I am. It's how I've always been. No. You don't have to continue in sin. You have the power, the possibility, the opportunity to walk away from it, to walk beyond it, to give it fully over to God. You don't have to give in to shame and fear. We are amazingly shame and fear driven. We learn that early. We're shame and fear driven. But the practical implication of having everything revealed, everything in the light, is we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be fearful because we can see what's going on around us. We don't have to be ashamed because that which we were ashamed of, we've already confessed and acknowledged. I love that. The coolest thing about confessing your sin, the coolest thing about acknowledging that you've messed up and that you're a liar or a cheat or angry or whatever it is you are, is that the evil one can't even use it against you anymore. People go, yeah, you're a liar. And you say, yeah, I know. I told everybody. Didn't you know? Didn't you get the memo? Yeah, of course I'm a liar. But I'm working on not being. You don't have to give in to shame and you don't have to give in to fear. You don't have to worry. We spend so much time worrying. What if this? What if that? What happens if this? What? We just go on and on with our little worries. And we're kind of proud of our worries. We're kind of excited about our worries. They kind of energize us. You don't have to worry. Because you can trust that the light will reveal the way. You'll recognize Satan's attacks when they come, the evil one's attacks. You'll see him coming. And most exciting is you get to see God's ways. I always get to speak to David Ganey's class at Pima College on religion and pop culture. And one of the things that I love to talk about, and I always get a question that allows me to share this, is they go, how do you know that God's here? And I go, because I see what he does. I get to see it. I get to see it close up. The coolest thing about being a pastor, and one of the reasons I will be a pastor until, you know, you guys tell me, no, really, Rod, you can't do it anymore. It's over. And then I'll go somewhere else and do it anyway because I just can't get enough of sitting on the front row of watching God at work in your life. I see how God works his ways in you. It's so cool. And you don't even know it's happening. Like half the time you're like struggling and you're all oblivious. And then you look back 3 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, and you go, wow, look what God did. Look how amazing he is. Well, I get a front row seat on that. Well, who would ever turn that down? We get to see God's ways. The light reveals God's ways. It shows what he's doing. I want to tell you the end of the story. Revelation 21, verses 22 through 27. John's describing the temple. He's describing heaven. He's describing this great vision that he has. And he says in verse 22 of chapter 21 of Revelation, I did not see a temple in that city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then these words, they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever and ever. God's glory is the light, and the light, Jesus, is the lamp. He calls us, he shows us the way, and eventually he lightens heaven. He is the light of heaven. There's no darkness there. There's no sin there. There's no evil there. There's no trouble there. There's no struggle there. There's no pain there. There are no tears there. I can't get my brain around that. I don't know what that's like. I've often said there's two things I cannot describe. One is creation, and the other is where we're going to end up. I don't know. I can't tell you either one of those. I can't figure out how it happened. I'm not that smart, and I'm not that smart enough to figure out what it's all going to look like when we go to whatever's next. I know who's going to be there. And I know that the light that invaded the darkness in the beginning and in the middle will also shine in the end. There will be no darkness, but only the light. I don't know what that's like. I struggle so much with my sin, and I struggle so much with darkness, and I struggle so much with pain. I struggle so much with those things that sometimes I just can't figure it out. I just don't know what light is like. And yet Jesus came. He became like me, a human. God of the universe. I can't figure out how that happened. God of the universe becomes one of us, walks with us, spends time with us, brings healing, brings gifts that we can only imagine. People got up and walked. People's lives were changed dramatically. I kind of long for that, to walk with the light. Jesus said, enjoy me while I'm here, because he wasn't going to be here for long. And then when he left, he also sent his Spirit. And now his Spirit brings light into me. Not because of anything I've done, not because I'm really smart and figured out the right things to do and say. Jesus gives us light, comes as light into our lives because we recognize that we're dark and we need light, and we simply ask for it. So tonight, my prayer for each one of you is that you would be truly enlightened. That the light would invade you, overcome you, come against all your objections, all your fears, all your demand to stay in the dark, that the light would explode in on you, and that you'd really get it, that God loves you, and he doesn't let go of people that he loves. Not now, not ever. That he comes bring light to you personally, individually. For now,